To you.
Good morning.
Happy whatever it is. Since David's not here, I'll try to help you out this morning. I've been fighting laryngitis all week. I don't know if my voice will hold up or not. May the good Lord bless, huh? All right. Turn to page 137. Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's stand together too, all right? Remain standing for prayer. 137. Key of B flat. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. Angels' host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold, he come, offspring of the virgin womb. In flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, bring man with me. Jesus our Emmanuel, the angel going you'll sing. Glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born with peace. Hail the Son of righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen hailing in his wing. Midland lay he glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the Son of Earth. Born to give them ways and birth. Hark to herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King.
Amen. As we look to the Lord this morning, Brother Gene Rice, will you lead us as we pray? Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. It's good to be here this morning. Good to see all of you. And, the time is drawing nigh, isn't it? Today's the 14th. If it were the 15th, it would be 10 more days till Christmas. As it is, it's 11. I'm glad to see all of you are in the Christmas spirit. That's wonderful. You got your Christmas lights up around the house and got your Christmas tree all decorated, and everything is looking like Christmas. Susie, have you got your tree up? Me? You're not going to put up a tree? Well, Santa Claus won't come to see you if you don't have a tree. Did y'all know that they're going off for Christmas?
Did they ask you for permission?
No. I'll tell you. But look where they're going, though.
Where are you going?
Oregon.
Yeah.
See that? See that? All the way to Oregon.
That made a tree. She's got tons of beautiful ones.
And from here, Oregon is north. And Santa Claus lives north.
Way north.
Way north. So they're going to get closer to Christmas than we are way off down here. Anyway, who else is going out of town? Huh? You're going out of town? That's right. Santa Claus will never find you there.
Redding, California.
Well, I'm going, so where am I going, Susan? I'm going to Long Beach. That's in California. I've got a grandson that lives up there, and so I guess that's where I'll be going. Nobody at home but me and the cat and Jeremy. Santa Claus will never find us. Don't even have a tree up. Why? I'm going to be gone. Anyway, are we going to have a Christmas Eve service? You're mighty quiet. Christmas Eve is Wednesday. How many is going to be here? I don't want to come up here and find two or three people. Huh? How many is going to be here Christmas Eve? Okay, there's two, four. That's a majority. Amen. That's enough. That's a quota. All we need. Anyway, we're glad you're here today. And let's join in now. We appreciate Brother Bryant being here leading us, Lois playing the piano, like old times.
You didn't look at the bulletin, did you?
What did the bulletin say?
We have a scripture reading right now.
We do?
Yeah.
Who's going to read it?
I don't know.
He doesn't have a Bible. You know what this guy reads out of? Show him what you look at this. King James Version?
Yes, sir.
You bet it is. All right. That's pretty good. Anybody else have one of these Bibles? Huh? Okay, there's some. Look at that. They're popping up all over the place. One of these days I'm going to get me one. How big's the print on those? Big enough to read?
With my glasses on, it's okay.
With your glasses on. All right. Get up here and share a scripture with us.
I'm going to be reading from John 5, the first 30 verses. After this, there were a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew's tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these laid a great multitude of folks, of blind, halted, withered, waiting for moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain seasons in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in this case, he said unto him, "Would thou be made whole?" The important man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he said that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews pursue Jesus and sought to slay him, and because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hereto, and I work."
Amen.
Therefore the Jews sought to the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also doth the Son likewise. For the Father loved the Son, and showed him all things that himself doth, and he will show him greater work than these, that ye may marvel. For as thy Father raises up the dead and quicken them, even so the Son quicken them whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honored not the Son, honored not the Father which had sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath lived in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that has done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Did all right?
We'll gather the men's choir together at this time. All these fine gentlemen.
Pastor, that mic work.
Mic work.
It's all.
Are we gonna spread out?
Yeah.
We need to bunch in.
Yeah.
We need to bunch in.
Yeah, squeeze together. Squeeze it.
Chin and down.
Come on, Romeo.
Look at your conductor there. Look at your conductor. She's saying squeeze together.
Yeah. Come together.
What are you doing down there?
I'm watching you. Squeeze together.
They got two mics.
There's some maybe in front of us.
Little short man in front.
One in front of it.
Supposed to be up here with that.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, good.
Blessing off of yours.
Let's stand together, our last hymn to say. One thirty-one, the first Noel. 131. First, second, and last stanzas.
Where they are, they keeping
On a cold winter night that was so deep, Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel. They looked up Does anybody want to sing a solo? Johnny's not here this morning. Susie, he's pointing at you. Give me an extra 15 minutes to preach. Thank you. All right. All right. Look in your New Testament to the book of Galatians. There's a verse over there that's
struck my fancy when I was reading. And I said, I think we can make a good sermon out of that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. Children of Abraham, that is. And you're also heirs. Heir is one who inherits something. Heirs to the promise. The promise that God made to Abraham. If you and I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are heirs to the promises God made to Abraham. Think of that. Now that promise that it refers to is over in Genesis. Turn back there to chapter 22. Because if you're saved this morning, you are heirs to this promise. That means you can claim it. Genesis 22, look in verse 15. We are heirs to this promise. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time. And here's what he said. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou, Abraham, hast done this thing, in the context we're going to find that it's offering his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You can't help but contrast this with Adam in the Garden of Eden, because he disobeyed God. And because he disobeyed God, sin came into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men. Abraham obeyed the Lord. And because of his obedience to God, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Think of that. By the way, I've got to correct something that I've told you before in sermons past, lessons. I've always looked over there in Genesis 24, verse 67, where the word love appears in the Bible, and I've been guilty of saying that this was the first time that the word love is found in the Bible, when Isaac loved his wife Rebekah. But Genesis 22 and verse 2 turns out to be the first time that the word love is found in the Bible. And it has reference to Abraham loving his son Isaac. Father loving the Son. The second time is the Son loving his wife. And I think about the relationship of the church to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Father loved the Son, and the Son loves his wife, the church. See that? Now, in this story of the sacrifice of Isaac, we have the trial of Abraham's faith in God. This is a faith that Isaac would live, and that Isaac would grow to be a great nation. By the way, among the Jews, this story of the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham, his father, is known as the Akedah, A-K-E-D-A-H. The Akedah, which means the binding. And this Akedah is considered the most difficult of the 10 tests that God gave to Abraham concerning his faith. If you say you have faith in God, it's going to be tested. There's going to be circumstances arise in your life where God's going to say, I'm going to check you out and see if your faith is real or not. Abraham, who is affectionately called the father of the faithful, had his faith tested 10 times in 10 different ways. I might could make a sermon on that someday. Who knows? If I don't, I know Brother Bryant can. Now, we're given here in the context a couple of clues about this element of Abraham's faith. You'll remember that when God called him to offer his son, that he saddled up a donkey to carry wood and everything that they needed to put on the altar to offer the sacrifice with. And they took two young men with them. And when they traveled all the way from Beersheba to Mount Moriah, and it took them 3 days to get there. 3 days? Death, burial, resurrection. 3 days of Jesus in Joseph's tomb. 3 days. When they got there, Abraham told these two young men, he said, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, that's Isaac, will go yonder and worship. But notice what else he added to that. And come again unto you.
Amen.
He had the confidence that they would return. And then as they're on their way up the mountain, he and Isaac asked him, verses 7 and 8, he says, Dad, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered him and said, God will provide himself a lamb or a burnt offering. Think of that play on words. God will provide himself. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God will provide himself. God will be the provider, but he will also be the offering. That's Abraham's faith. For our message today, I want us to remember three words that are found here in God's promise in Genesis 22, verse 17. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Seed, stars, sand. Three words, 3 points. By the way, Abraham believed God's promise. We're told over in Hebrews 11, verses 17, 18, and 19. Listen to this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed and he was ready. He had the knife raised. Abraham was had his son Isaac out on the altar, laying on the wood. He was going to take his life with that knife. God stopped him. God stopped him. In his mind, in his heart, he'd already offered up his son. But God provided a substitute, didn't he? Abraham called this place Jehovah Jireh. And that means the Lord provides. And he does, doesn't he? The Lord provides. Now, let's look at these three words. Seed, stars, sand. Seed refers to children, offspring. It's used hundreds of times, I think, in the Old Testament as well as the New. One of the first significant references to seed is in Genesis 3:15. After Adam's sin. Sin entered into the world. Judgment is being dispensed. God has Adam, Eve, and Satan standing in front of him. And to Satan, God tells him, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. That is, the seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. But thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, that's the first messianic promise that we have in the Bible. So you don't have to read except to the third chapter of Genesis, and you'll find that. That tells us here of that perpetual battle that's still going on between Jesus and Satan. Jesus has defeated Satan already. He's a defeated foe, actually, because Jesus was successful in dying on the cross. Satan tried to keep him from it because he knew that when Jesus died on the cross, that he would be paying the penalty for man's sin. And naturally, Satan didn't want that. Also, Jesus not only died for our sins, but he was buried and rose the third day from the dead. In his resurrection, he defeated death, and we were delivered from the penalty and the power and soon the presence of sin. Speaking of seed, we read about the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Judah, the seed of David, all of these. In an ordinary way, it's used as a euphemism for offspring or descendants among us human beings. But it takes on a greater spiritual idea when it's applied to Abraham and his family. Then when we move into the New Testament, it again takes a more than just a physical descendants, because it brings us into the picture and refers to those of us who have been born again and are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and have become children of God through the new birth and faith in Christ, that we are the seed of Christ. You and I are the seed of Christ. Now, let's go to the second word here, the stars. Abraham was told by the Lord, this happened at night, he told him, he said, look up into the heavens and try to count the stars. Then God said, so shall thy seed be. Seed being his descendants, don't you see? So shall thy seed be. And then in Genesis 26, verse 4, God will tell Isaac, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Again, the stars. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 10, Moses is speaking to the Israelites before they entered into the promised land. He said, in the 40th year, they'd been in the wilderness for 40 years, in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that would have been Nisan the first, 1423 B.C. See, they had Nissans back then. But it was a month, not a car. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, Moses says to them, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he hath promised you. Think about Israel. They're in the newspaper, in the news every day. And they're surrounded by their enemies. I don't know how many Arabs there are over in that neck of the woods, but there's an awful lot more than there are Jews. There are today an estimated 13,900,000 Jews in the whole world. Only 6,186,100 of them are living in their land of Israel today. 6 million. We have 5,500,000 Jews living in the United States. Almost as many as there are in Israel. But that's all of them that are in the world. Now we're talking stars. Before the invention of the Hubble telescope, which is named after Edwin Hubble, it was launched into orbit in 1990, 24 years ago. Before the telescope, humans could only see a couple of thousand stars in heaven with the natural eye. But this Hubble telescope has opened up the heavens and allowed us to see parts of the universe and objects in the heavens that we never dreamed of. There are literally billions and billions of stars out there, and they still haven't seen them all because they don't know how big the universe is. Can you imagine? And by the way, they're putting out a new and improved telescope that'll be launched in 4 more years, 2018. Well, first thing you know, they're going to see pearly gates up there. Think of that. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 22, Moses told Israel, he said, "Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. 70. That's all the world. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude." They didn't have the telescope. He couldn't tell how many stars there were. The estimated number of Hebrews who left Egypt at the Exodus was about 2.5 million. And in Deuteronomy 28:62, Moses told them that if they did not observe to do all of the laws that God had given them, he said, "You shall be left few in number." How many are there now? 13 million. That's few compared with the number of stars, isn't it? "Ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God." And then Nehemiah comes and gets into the act, and he writes in chapter 9, verse 23, Their children were also multiplied as thou as the stars of heaven. But that's not all. He said they shall be as the number of the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea. Genesis 32, verse 12, God told Jacob, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. 1 Kings 4:20. Judah and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude. Numbers 23, verse 10. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? 2 Chronicles 1, 9. Solomon said to God, thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. That's still a lot, isn't it? The dust of the earth. Now, these references to the stars in heaven and the sand of the sea may imply that God's heavenly host, those Jews who have died in faith, believing, who are now in heaven, where the stars are, and in their new bodies. But he said, as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the seashore. That's earthy. The sand may be those who are on the earth and will be on the earth to multiply during the kingdom of Christ and perhaps even into infinity, because God said that the earth, and this is the new earth, is the everlasting habitation of God's people. So God will have an heavenly people, the ones who have died, the saints, and he will have an earthly people, those who are living on the earth, the stars and the sand. Paul, over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, in his writing, refers back to that Genesis 22 promise that God made. Listen to this. He says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. Amen. Going back to our text, if we are Christ's, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The focus of Abraham's promise was not contained, nor was it limited to the physical multiplication of his heirs. It is, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Remember what John saw in heaven? Paul was caught up when he died into the third heaven, and he saw things that he couldn't talk about. And then one day God decided he was going to let somebody talk about him. So he sent John over to the Isle of Patmos, and while he was there, he heard a voice saying, come up hither, and immediately he was up there in heaven. And he saw a lot of things and wrote the book of Revelation about them. What did he see? Revelation 7:9. I beheld a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before God's throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, crying with a loud voice, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." You know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to stand before God on His throne and we're going to cry out, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." That's the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. One of the elders told John, he said, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Oh, I've got to give you this, talking about the stars and the sand. There were a group of researchers over west of us in the state of Hawaii. They were associated with the University of Hawaii, and they decided to figure out how many grains of sand there are on the earth. Now, God already said no man can number them, but we're going to give it a try. And they did. Listen to this. Their findings were published by a science writer by the name of David Blattner in a book he wrote entitled Spectrums, Our Mind-Boggling Universe, From Infinitesimal to Infinity. The book's available. You can buy it. And they came up with a number and said there are, you want to write this down on your bulletin? Make a note over there. 7 quintillion, 500 quadrillion grains of sand on the earth. And I won't bore you with the method that they use to make these calculations. Be interesting to read them in the book, wouldn't it? That's a lot. They also estimated, because they do not know the extent of the universe, they had estimated an unbelievably large number of observable stars. Stars that you can see, even with the telescope. 70,000 million, million, million. I wouldn't even know how to write that down on paper. I don't think you could find a piece of paper long enough to make all of that. And another reference says that there are 300 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. 300 billion. And there are more than 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Some of them are 20 times larger than our Milky Way universe. And a guesstimate, that's what they called it, would be 70 billion trillion stars in total. Well, that sounds like our national debt, doesn't it? That's what you were thinking about, I know. And again, they don't even know the extent of the universe. And God is comparing the seed, the descendants of Abraham and Christ, both physical and spiritual, with the number of grains of sand on the earth and the number of stars in the universe that cannot be numbered. Now, it's hard for us to understand or comprehend such a comparison as that. But my, think about what lies ahead of us. God has got the future all laid out. But know this. A little more than 2,000 years ago, in the fullness of time, some wise men from the east crossed over an ocean of sand following a star to find a single seed. They found him at Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And his name? Jesus. They found the seed. They found the seed. Let's stand together, please. Maybe someone in our congregation today that's never found the seed. That seed is Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray today that your Holy Spirit will take the truth from the Word of God that we've preached today, put it inside our hearts. We want to thank you for your magnificence toward us. We want to thank you for adopting us into your family by faith. If there's one here today without Christ and without the assurance of salvation, may today be the day when they will accept him as their Lord and as their Savior. To his honor and glory, we pray. Amen.
493.
493.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Patiently loving, is waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner. What a home we have to come to. Thank you for coming today. I hope we've said something that's brought joy to your heart and drawn you closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Sam Burton, will you dismiss us, please, in our prayer?